I want to welcome you on this snowy Sunday. I want to thank you for getting here. It's great to worship God together. And the beauty of God's creation, just keep reminding yourself, right? It's beautiful. Right? It's beautiful. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for the beauty of your creation. We do thank you for the gift that is ours to worship you. We do thank you for the gift of gathering together as a community. And we confess that there are Sundays like this where it might be easier for us to do otherwise. I thank you for each one of these people who came out today. We need each other. We need, as the scriptures tell us, to keep on encouraging one another to love and good works, to remember our faith, to be resolute in our faithfulness to you. And God, I thank you for the encouragement that I gain from these brothers and sisters here this morning. I do pray for the endurance we need for these winter months, for all the snow we're getting. But even far more so, Lord, for the challenges to our faith and to our faithfulness to you. May we keep our eyes on you through it all. May we help each other walk forward in a way, God, that brings your love to each other and to this world you love so much. Right now, as we gather before your word, speak to us and give us ears to hear so that we may grow and live and bear fruit as the people you have created us anew in Jesus to be. We pray in his name. Amen. So it is great to be together. I am so glad that we're here. And so glad that we have a chance this morning to continue this sermon series through the Apostle Peter's first letter. This title for the series has been Exile, Sustaining Hope in a Hostile World. And when we talk about a hostile world, we really, living here in the United States, can't relate to, let's just be honest right up front about this, that those to whom Apostle Peter was writing to were really going through difficult times. You, I'm sure, each one of us in our own lives, you got challenges. We've got challenges. Some of those far more than others. But the people to whom the Apostle Peter was writing were being thrown out of communities, shunned by their families. They were losing their jobs. They were losing their livelihoods, some of them losing their lives. For most of us, at least, we don't have any sense of that experience. So I want to be careful as we look at this, not to equate the sacrifices that we're called to or the suffering even that many of us experience to that which some of our brothers and sisters, and maybe some who are here this morning, have experienced, and some are experiencing around the world. We need to keep these brothers and sisters in prayer. Yeah, let's do that. God, there are so many in our world today who are struggling because of the violence in their communities and in their nations, because of conflicts of socioeconomic, political differences, and Lord, because of religious differences. We cry out to you for your kingdom to come and your will to be done, for your peace to reign. And God, we think especially of our Christian brothers and sisters in places of the world where just the fact that they believe in you and they want to follow you is causing them to lose their homes and their families and their lives. God, we pray for your mercy. And we pray that we who are so blessed would do our part to make the world a better place for all and to provide support to those especially who are struggling the most. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I think about 1 Peter, and we're next week will be the last Sunday on this. We'll look at chapter 5. Today, chapter 4, we see Peter kind of moving in his book toward the conclusion, his letter toward the conclusion, and kind of upping what we're supposed to do in response. He's written this letter to encourage those who are going through difficult times, through going through suffering, to continue to be people of faith and to continue to be faithful through it all. And at the heart of this is the strong faith that Peter has and wants the people to have, that Jesus is coming back, that what you see, what you're experiencing today is not all there is. That no matter what it is you're facing right now, it's just a small little glimpse, a small little moment in the midst of the whole of what God has for you. And that no matter how difficult today might be, no matter how difficult the experience might be, Jesus is coming back. His kingdom will reign forever. You can trust him. It changes everything. It changes the perspective. It gives us perspective in the midst of the challenge of the moment. Makes me think a little bit of what it's like. I know many here are musicians, whether it's been in school or, you know, even here in worship, in the choir, in band, you've had this experience. I know I have, where you're getting ready for a concert. You know the concert's about to come up, the curtain's about to rise, but the rehearsals have gone just horribly. It seems like the different sections of the choir or of the band just aren't working together, people aren't practicing like they should maybe, I don't know what it is, but somehow or another, you're heading toward the concert and it seems like you just gotta show up and fail. And yet, the curtain rises and somehow the different people, the different sections are paying attention to the director, they're listening to each other, they're playing together, they're doing their counting, and somehow beautiful music takes place. And it's an amazing thing because you really thought there's no way that this could work. Have you ever had that experience? This is what Peter is telling these folks. That the curtain is about to rise. Jesus is about to appear. The kingdom of God is coming. It's time to focus in and to act upon that belief that Jesus will return. It changes everything when that pressure's on or when that hope is so bright before us. So I want to invite you to hear what the Apostle Peter has to say to these people with this in mind, that Jesus is coming, that the end is near. Here's what we can do to live our lives until that moment when he appears, full of faith and faithful. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, the end of all things is near. Did you hear that? He really believed this. Peter had walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus die. And he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He saw Jesus ascend to the Father, where all authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. He heard Jesus promise that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit to him. And Peter experienced the fulfillment of that promise, the Holy Spirit come upon him and the church. And Peter had heard Jesus say very clearly, I'm going to return. Peter has no question in his mind. This is going to happen. Jesus fulfills his promises. God is faithful. And so he knows and he wants these folks who haven't had the privilege to actually meet Jesus in the flesh, the risen flesh, he wants them to know this truth and wants us to know this truth. The end of all things is near. Therefore, because the end of all things is near, therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear his name, this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. So do you hear Peter, as he's coming toward the conclusion of his letter, saying, knowing that the end is near, knowing that God is faithful, here's what you need to do. Here's how you live a life that is full of faith and faithful. Through it all, through even the most difficult of circumstances in your life, here's how you do it. The first thing that Peter says, and maybe this will be a bit of a surprise, but I doubt it for you. First thing he says is, pray. I had somebody tell me this past week, it seems like a lot of your sermons, you keep going back to prayer. You keep going back to reading the scriptures and listening to God's word. It seems like a theme with you. I'm like, well, yeah, it is. There's no question. You're right. And in fact, it's interesting that this very week that this person said this to me, that it seems to be a theme with Peter, with Paul, with Jesus, with prayer is actually the foundation of this life in Christ. I mean, our life in Christ is a relationship, right? It means we spend time with God. We talk with God. We listen to God. We walk with God. Prayer is the way we live into that. Practicing prayer is so important. So we get up in the morning, invite you to practice prayer at night, to practice prayer, so that over time, you're kind of getting this prayer muscle practiced. You know, it's like this muscle memory, whether it's an instrument or a sport, where this just becomes natural. You are going to work and you're going to work with God. You're entering into a difficult circumstance and you're entering into that difficult circumstance with God. You're entering into a new opportunity and you're talking to God about it. The Good Shepherd is with you. And what Peter is saying here is be aware, be alert to this, so that you can walk with Jesus, aware of Jesus' presence, experiencing with Jesus all of life. I want to encourage you to sign up for the 7 days of prayer. It's one of the great experiences that our church sets up each year. And it's an hour, which, as Jim said, can seem like it's going to be long, but actually goes by pretty quickly. It's a chance both to pray and to practice praying. And they have actually resources to help you do that. And the time does go by quickly. We need to keep practicing this. We need to be alert. And as it says in the NIV, be of sober mind so that we can pray. I was driving on the highway this morning. Anybody else do that today? You're driving? And thinking about it, I got to make sure that I'm driving in such a way that my wheels are connected with the road. Like, I've got to be alert and of sober mind so that I can drive, so that I can keep connected to the road here. Because when I hit that patch of snow and ice and I feel I got to stay connected, even more so right now because going's getting difficult. I got to make sure. That's the way it is with prayer. We want to stay connected, be of sober mind, be alert so that you stay connected to God, especially when the going gets tough. Second thing that he talks about here is to love. I lost my notes here, but I know that that's what it's going to say up there, right? Show deep love. I love the way this actually comes from the New Living Translation, because the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, talks about loving deeply. The NIV says continue to love deeply. But I love the way the NLT, the New Living Translation, puts it, continue to show love deeply. The love that Peter's calling us to is not just a deep love in here, you know, like, oh man, I just love whoever it is. But a love where it actually shows in my actions. I mean, you know this is true over and over again with Jesus, with Peter, with all the teachings in the scriptures. He has shown you, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, even the prophet Micah says. You know, it's to do justice. It's to love in a way that actually shows. And the way that Peter talks about it, he goes on the next verse to say, show hospitality to one another. Some translations talk about inviting people into each other's homes, which, by the way, those tables of nine are just great experiences, but where we invite one another into our homes, we take time with each other, we show our love in practical ways. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, love your enemies. He's not just saying, do it in here, but show it out here. And so for us to be, especially when the going gets tough, when we're suffering, when we're struggling, when following Jesus is difficult, know that Jesus is coming. So love all the more deeply. Show that love all the more completely. Third one that he has to say here is to use what God has given you to serve. That as we look toward Jesus returning, make sure that when he shows up, you said, Jesus, I use what you gave me to serve well in your church, in your world. Remember the parable of the stewards who were given some 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 1? The guy returns, their master returns and says, I took 10 and I made 10. I took 5, I made 10. One says, I buried it and I didn't lose it. And it's not good. I love the way that Peter puts it in this. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. You know, whatever God has given you, it's for you to serve with. It's for you to be a part of God, the movement of God's Spirit in the world. Well, we had a man, he turned 90 last month, Doug Fenderson. His funeral is going to be this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. One of these, another, like so many of you here, remarkable people that you just wouldn't know are walking among us. You know, he served in Washington, D.C. under 2 different presidents, was confirmed by the Senate to a position he was nominated to by President Reagan. He was the director of continuing education for the medical school here at the University of Minnesota. And you would never know it from talking to him. Just a humble man who used the gifts that God had given him to serve others. In fact, I got several quotes as I was talking to his family, and one of them that I was looking at this past week, as I'm also looking at this passage, Doug said this, find a place of service in which your inherent gifts may be fully engaged for a purpose beyond yourself. Isn't that great? Find a place of service in which your inherent gifts may be fully engaged for a purpose beyond yourself. Don't live just for yourself. Make sure that your life and your resources are invested in ways that go beyond your little world, your little life. God hasn't given us this life. He hasn't called us to new life in Christ so that we can just be happy. We add Jesus to the mix and we're even better off than we were. That's true. But we also then present ourselves to Jesus as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our spiritual worship. And so we present ourselves, our lives, our gifts, our abilities, whatever it might be, to serve God. Financial, you know, stewardship commitment Sunday coming up in a couple of weeks. I didn't pick this verse for today as looking toward that, but guess what? I want to invite you to be praying about the commitment God is calling you to make as we look to the year ahead. We do have so many wonderful things happening here in Salem. We're moving forward in so many great ways, but we really need all the members of the body of Christ to step up because financially right now, honestly, we're falling behind. We're going to have to look at how do we cut staff? What do we do to survive? Those are the wrong questions for us to be asking. We want to be saying, God, what is it you want us to do to move forward with this mission? And we need each other. It doesn't mean, well, we'll talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. I just want to invite you to be praying about it. What has God entrusted to you that he's calling you to invest, not just financially? but in terms of whatever the gifts and resources are for the mission of Christ here at Salem and in the world beyond. Fourth thing, fourth out of five, choose to rejoice when challenged. You know, I love the way the Apostle Peter puts it here. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. You think life is difficult? Are you surprised? You think following Jesus is going to cost you? It's going to mean sacrifice? If you're just hearing this message for the first time this morning, I'm sorry. I wish you'd heard this before, but you need to hear this. Don't be surprised that the call of Jesus is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Don't be surprised when life gets difficult. Don't be surprised when following him means sacrifice. Don't be surprised when the world might say, that's ridiculous. What are you doing going to church? When that happens, instead of complaining, instead of going into the self-pity party, choose to rejoice in the hope that is yours through Jesus Christ. Choose to rejoice in the love of God, the faithfulness of God that you can count on. Peter wants these people to know that, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit wants us to believe this and to live this too. Choose to rejoice when you face challenge. And finally, I love how he ends this chapter. Trust God and do good is basically what he says. Listen to that verse. Once again, therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful creator while continuing to do good. When the going gets tough, turn to God, trust in God, and just keep on doing good. You may not have, actually, I'm guessing you don't have all the answers for what our world needs right now, right? You're not sure how we're going to turn the tables. We talk a lot as Christians. We're going to transform the world. Maybe we should just do good and trust God. And trust that God will transform the world because he promises to do this. So let us trust God and let's just keep doing good. You know, back when I was in college, I was leading some canoe trips, took a group of middle school students along the Connecticut River, way up north where it starts out. It's very slow and pastoral, really beautiful, going through farmland. And we came to this place where there is an island in the middle of the river, and we chose to go left, and the river picked up speed a little bit because it was a little more narrow there. And there was a tree that fell out over the river, and I had to yell out, hey, paddle over this way. We got to, don't hit the tree. Go around this. Come on, you can do it. Paddle. Okay, do it. Yeah, you can. Okay, we made it. We made it. That was great. And we made it down the river. We came to a farm, went up and asked the owner of the farm, can we camp on your, yep, we did. So we camped there. And just as we got out of the canoes, this young man, one of the students, comes running up to me and says, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue the camp. I'm like, okay. What's that about? He said, well, you didn't warn me that we were going to be hitting whitewater. I'm like, whitewater? Oh, you mean the island where it picked up in the tree? Yeah, when we get back, I'm suing you, and I'm suing the camp. And I'm like, you know, we didn't really hit whitewater. I wouldn't call it that, but, you know, it was a little scary because we were afraid if we hit the tree, we might get stuck, and we needed to paddle around. But you listened, and you did what I called you to do, and we made it. We were okay. Yeah, we settled down. So, hey, why don't we go set up our tents, have some food? And, you know, we went on in life. I didn't get sued yet anyway. Don't be surprised if you go on a canoe trip and you get wet. Just saying. And don't be surprised if you follow Jesus and life gets a little challenging, maybe a lot challenging. Don't be surprised. Trust God and do good. Keep paddling, keep listening, doing what he calls you to do. Because God is faithful. You can trust him. We can help each other trust him. We can help each other do the good that God's calling us to do. We won't do it perfectly, but we're going to trust God. We're going to do good. We're going to keep moving forward. And Jesus is going to meet us. He's going to reveal himself to us. He's going to come back. His kingdom will reign forever. And there won't be one good act. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There won't be one good act that we do that will be for nothing. Nothing goes to waste. But in God's grace, it's all used together for his good purpose. So let's be a part of that, Salem. Let's trust God. Let's keep doing good. Thank you that you do, and you help me to do that too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so very much that you are so good. And because you are good, because we can trust you, we can venture forward into life to do good ourselves. In your good time, transform this world, save this world. Come, Lord Jesus. And as we wait, may we live by faith. And may we be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.